Hey, Ron, how are you doing?
Hey, Bob, good. I hear you're going to be on a panel with Mike Wilson.
Yeah, that I am. Are you going to be on it too?
They asked, but I won't be here. I'll be on the mainland.
Oh, shoot. That's too bad. It would have been fun to have you there.
Yeah, next time.
Next time. Well, I would have made even a greater effort to be at the meeting if I knew you were going to be there in person.
You know, I'm retired, and so are you.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's real retired, yeah.
Kristen, did you make the amendment to the budget? Did you send it out to us? No, I just didn't check.
I think I saw an email when you said you made that last week.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, I just wanted to make it.
This is just
no, I don't have the most recent one.
So when you see that top part, Lisa, that's somebody in the waiting room. You just got to go and tap her and let her in.
Not necessary. Yeah. And so there should be two people here. So she made that.
And then you see admit all. Yeah.
I don't have a meeting.
So my
I can look it up.
The only pieces that I didn't add, I know that we talked about discussing having the meeting center on the island.
Yeah.
So okay. Yeah.
Mark, we can get a picture of those of us that are absent. Put it in the chair, like.
I like that idea.
Has Ted signed on yet?
Not on.
Oh, that Ted, admit.
And the one above
and
him.
Kathy.
Yeah. So during the meeting, that's going to be happening off and on. So just. Like me, I always forget that they're in people talk to you.
Ted, are you on?
I'm here.
Okay, good.
And Mark, I think Cassie Chi wanted to be let in.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone.
Is that you, Cassie?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning, everyone. Aloha. Welcome to this meeting. We're kind of excited right now. A lot of things historical right now. We haven't sat next to each other here live since 2020, January.
Live the last one, I think, March of 2020.
March of 2020. So we're in this room. We invite all of you in our next meeting to come and join us because it's kind of empty right now. I'm happy to be here with Lisa because before it was just Lisa. So let's be mindful. We're not the best at technology, but we have this building has a whole entire staff helping us. And so we're excited to move forward on this day, getting back to normal. So thank you everyone for being here this morning. We have an agenda, very excited. Introducing to you the new oversight coordinator. But before we begin, Martha, you want to make an amendment?
Yes, I'm requesting an amendment to the agenda, and that amendment is to request for the Office of Information Practices concurrence for a limited meeting. And this would allow us to visit the facilities as a group. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just asking that be added to the agenda. We'll explain more when we get to that. Is that approved?
Okay, so we wanted to make an amendment to add to the agenda. Any questions from Ronald, Ted, or Mike?
No, I agree.
No questions.
No question. I don't believe this is any substantive change, so if the appropriate time comes, I will make a motion to.
Okay.
Okay, so has it been moved and... It's been moved by Martha. Can I get a second?
Okay.
Moved and seconded that we amend the agenda for today to discuss special meetings and gatherings of the commission. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed same. Okay, motion passed. Again, welcome everyone on the Zoom. I'm going to take this time to open up the floor for public testimony on all the agenda items that we have. Lisa, you think you can put a gallery picture up there? And I'll just look for digital hands or virtual hands.
It's at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bob, you're the first one I saw. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Very briefly, this is just an announcement, but it's, I think, an important one, that on July 12th, Governor Ige signed into law House Bill 1761, House Draft 1, Senate Draft 2, Conference Draft 1 as Act 295. That creates a limited purpose ID that people can apply for. And it was originally intended for immigrants, but thanks to Pat McManaman, the former director of the Department of Human Services, she wanted an insert that would make it applicable to people coming out of prison as well. And so we put in a paragraph, a subparagraph that now includes the following languages so that people who have been in prison can get an identification, a temporary identification. The language is, if you present to the licensing bureau over at the where they issue auto licenses, the examiner of driver's license shall accept various types of documentation for the purpose of establishing the applicant's identity and residency in the state, which may be established by more than one document. Acceptable documentation includes, quote, a prison identification, certificate of discharge or order of parole issued by the Department of Public Safety, or a printout prepared by the Department of Public Safety with the applicant's photograph, name, and date of birth. And so anybody, regardless of any other identification you may have, anybody coming out can go to where you take the driver's license test and present one of these documents and get a temporary ID, which will say on the back that it is issued only for state identification purposes only and does not establish eligibility for employment, voter registration, or public benefits. And it's not good for things that are better identification is required under federal law at this point. But it's something, and it will help. It will help immigrants. It will help people coming out of prison. It'll get you what you need to get a driver's license. It'll help you. It'll just help you all across the board, particularly with transportation and those types of things. So that's it.
Thank you, Robert. It's moving in the right direction. Thank you, Bob. Anybody else want to comment on the agenda today or have some announcements to make? Everybody on one page. Mm-hmm. Okay. Without here. Go ahead, Kat.
Aloha, everybody. Thank you so much for this opportunity to say something. You know, this week, a thing came out basically saying that people could not be released on their own recognizance, but they'd have to stay overnight and then be go to court the next day. So I was kind of wondering, like, can the court calendar handle all that? And how is this actually created without all three branches of government? It was only the executive branch and the judiciary. So what about the legislative branch? And how could they do something like this without any public input? The whole thing just seems really strange to me. That's all I have to say.
And I just want to mention this is really impacting the police. So counties were very involved with this as opposed to the state government. Judiciary obviously was, but counties with the executive branch at the county level that were involved, not the state level.
Right, and only one county. Only Honolulu.
Only Oahu, yeah. Only
yes.
Honolulu.
Thank you for bringing that up, Kat. I'm not that fully aware.
We don't have an answer.
Yeah, we don't have an answer right now, but I do know you know, and I don't want to misquote him. Maybe Judge Ibarra, upon arrest, doesn't the counties have like 72 hours they can hold the body? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't seen the bill, Kat, but generally speaking, a person who is arrested generally has to be brought before the judge, and the judge will set bail. So it seems like, and like I said, I haven't seen the bill, that when the police arrest somebody and they're going to hold them overnight and they're going to bring them to court the next day before a judge, where the judge would set bail. But unless the law has changed also, you know, the chief of police, as far as misdemeanors are concerned, has the authority to set bail. Apparently, maybe the chief was not going to exercise his discretion to set bail for those that are arrested, to leave the bail setting to the judge. And you know, I'm talking about misdemeanors only. Felonies, that's a different matter.
Well, I guess what's upsetting is that this is only about Oahu and it was not a bill. This is something that two branches of government got together and didn't even invite everybody. They never even invited the public defenders. So it just seems really, something is really strange. And I hope you look into it. Thank you.
Well, I know on the Big Island, you know, the police sets the bail, the police chief sets the bail for misdemeanors. The prosecutor, pursuant to the chief judge's guidelines on bail, would, well, the police would follow the chief judge's guidelines on bail and would release the arrested person on bail submitted by the chief judge's guidelines. So if a person who is arrested for a felony need not be in jail if the person can post a cash bail pursuant to the guidelines submitted by the chief judge. But it is only a guideline because the person who's released on that bail will then get a court date and may address the judge at that time whether to reduce the bail or increase the bail. That's another matter. But yes, the Third Circuit allows, if they haven't changed the policy, release based on bail.
I mean, Kat, we understand your concern. We don't have the answer for it.
Okay.
And it really may not involve us at all, since it's not corrections that will be holding the body. It will be the police cell block.
Okay. Thank you, Martha.
Okay, without seeing any more comments on the agenda today, thank you, Kat. We're going to go ahead and just take a look at that situation and see how that played out. And so we can have keep track of it. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. At this time, if you notice, this young, beautiful woman sitting next to me, or two sides, right in front of me. This is our new oversight coordinator that we've been talking about for the last 2.5 years. We're so excited for her to be here right now, Christine Johnson, and really want her to introduce herself and share about what she's done to get to this place here. And we're very excited with her background and her reputation in the oversight community nationally, that she'll be a big asset to the commission. I'm so happy to be here as I can relax just a little. I can relax just a little. And you know, I'm looking for at least this first phase of beginning to, if you remember, you know, back in February of 2020, we were talking a lot about learning what oversight is all about and training. Yeah. So we're lucky now that we have Ms. Johnson here in Hawaii as the most qualified person to talk to us about oversight and lead Hawaii in that new direction. So, Christian, can you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, everyone. It's great to see everyone this morning. So as Mark said, my name is Kristen Johnson. I moved here from Michigan. I'm born and raised there. So just to give you a little bit of idea of what my background has entailed, I started my career with overseeing the prisons in the state of Michigan. I worked for the Legislative Corrections Ombudsman there. From there, I moved to New York City, where I worked for the Board of Correction, and I oversaw Rikers Island. And there I really focused on enhanced security unit, protective custody, the suicide units, and basically any of the really tough, units always ended up with me somehow. So I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm also a part of the National Association of Civilian Oversight of Law Enforcement, which is known as NACOL. I am a co-chair for the oversight of jails and prisons on the national level. And so what we do is we kind of set the training standards for other oversight agencies, you know, just so that they have kind of a starting point if they don't already. And that's really incredible work. I really enjoy it. I get to work with oversight practitioners from across the country. And so, you know, that way I'm not just thinking in a box. I get to work with so many other people doing the same really important work. I dipped my toe in law enforcement oversight as well. That's actually most recently where I worked in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and now I'm here. This is a true honor for me. It's a true privilege. I'm ecstatic, honestly, and I'm so thankful for the community and all of you and the commission, especially for hosting just a beautiful welcoming ceremony last night. It was really incredible and very touching, and it meant so much. So thank you all so much. And if you have any questions, I can put my information in the chat so everybody has my email, and just feel free to reach out anytime, day or night. And I look forward to meeting everybody.
Thank you. What's the name of the, she does have office, right? State Office Tower,
yep.
Is the official name of the building.
Leopapa. Yeah.
Leopapa building.
Yeah, so please come visit me.
But it's a State Office Tower right across from St. Andrews.
But I do believe if you do want to stop by and meet Christine, you have to call her. Because there are security procedures. Yes. But again, we're excited. You know, you can either email me if you're having a hard time contacting her or any of the commissioners so we can hook you folks up and we can begin conversations on those things that are passionate to you.
Looking to hire?
Yes.
So if anybody knows anyone?
Yes. I'm looking to hire. So I'm starting off with, as long as the budget is approved, then I'm starting off with an administrative assistant and also a research associate. Ideally, we will have two researchers, and one day, if my hopes and dreams come true, we can expand the office and have more monitors and investigators as well. So, so if you know anybody or if you're interested, send to Mark me or Lisa? Okay, yeah, send any names or interested parties to Mark and we can make sure that you get all the information.
We're working on the position descriptions and all those fun bureaucratic details, and we'll be posted.
Yeah, okay, and we're going to be talking about the budget.
Yeah.
Can you let that waiting room in? And then we're going to have, she's going to give out, now that we've introduced you to her, she's going to do her first reporting of the of her first 2 weeks. Go ahead.
All right. So the first 2 weeks have been extremely exciting, also busy. I just wanted to give a shout out to Max and Tommy from the department. They have been extremely welcoming. I've met with Max once, and poor Tommy I've met with a few different times. You know, and I also, you know, I've received different presentations from Corrections Program Services Division, the Reentry Coordination Office, and also the Institution Division. So I'm really thankful about that, learning more and more every day. I've also have put together a preliminary budget, which ideally will be discussed and approved today. So looking forward to that. And then, as Lisa said, I'm finalizing all of the staff descriptions. I'm actually hoping that'll be completed today that I can send to the commission for you all to take a look at. And then we can get those posted quickly. I think that.
Did you want to discuss anything?
We have to discuss.
Yep.
Go ahead and discuss the
expenditure plan. All right. Yes. So now we're going to shift into the expenditure plan. Do you normally go line by line, or how do you?
I would help. We worked on this together, and so it's broken down to personnel, to travel, to office supplies, equipment, and things like that. So as you go through it, I really want to discuss the office assistant position.
Okay, yeah. All right, awesome. So I have been working with personnel to get a better understanding of the salary requirements and everything else. So what we're looking at is for a research associate, they would be hired in, 8 months? What do we say, November?
November.
So I'm hoping to hire a research associate in November 1st. And so for the 8 months, their salary would add up to $56,208. And then for the office assistant, I'm hoping to hire them a little bit sooner. I'm looking at September for that. So for 10 months of salary for the fiscal year would be $27,500.
Okay, and this is where I want to make a comment. We had to put in a expenditure plan without having staff here to have money released. And in that expenditure plan, I identified the office assistant as being an SRA position. After I started meeting with Kristen, I reviewed the specifications for the positions, and an SR10 is more appropriate. So we want to adjust that from the SRA to the SR10. So if I need to do a meeting with AG, I would be very happy to, but it is just one step up, but it makes a big difference in the salary. And I don't want to feel like we're locked into that temporary expenditure plan that we put in, because now we're coming up with a more specific one.
Yeah.
A lot of changes, Lisa, as you can see already, like travel and stuff like that, a lot of changes.
Yeah, and just to give a little more background too, for the office assistants, they are going to be working a lot with the community. They're going to be doing the complaint intake, and so they'll be talking with people in custody, they'll be talking with community, family, et cetera, et cetera. It is going to be an emotionally difficult job, as any job in corrections typically is, and so in addition to all the professional requirements that we really need, I also just wanted to bring in like the trauma enforced piece of it too. Great, so moving on to
travel. Do you want me to do the overview?
Sure.
Only because, we talked about this a lot, but I think that I may be able to do a little faster.
Okay.
We have travel going on, and that involves that the coordinator will be going to neighbor islands once a month. So that means that each neighbor island would be visited 4 times a year. Now, of course, if there's an investigation going on, that could expand what's going to happen. So under travel, we have for the coordinator go. But we also need to have Kristen introduced to the different facilities. So one of the commissioners, and I highly recommend it be Ted, should accompany her to all the Hawaii facilities and do that first. So it would be Ted and Kristen, I've talked about this with Ted. I think he's in agreement. If you're not, let me know, Ted, to do their trip. And then we want the opportunity for the commissioners to be able to visit the neighbor island facilities. So that would be 3 trips to the neighbor island of us going as a group, and Kristen would be accompanying us for that purpose. So we accounted for all of that in this, and also then for Ron's airfare to come each month to our meeting. Then the next trip that we have is to Arizona, 2 trips to allow Kristen to be acquainted with Arizona and visit the facility, tour the facility, and get to know and explain to the inmates how they get in touch with us. And then last thing, can you talk about the conference?
Yeah, absolutely. So NACOL is the organization that I talked about earlier, the one that I'm really involved in. They do have an annual conference. I am a certified oversight practitioner, and I get that certification through NACOL. And so a part of that is going to the conferences, going to the different classes and different things they have. So the conference total, we're looking at me and hopefully one other commissioner will come and join the fun. And that would come up to a total of 6,600 for that conference. And that includes, of course, airfare, per diem, hotel costs, et cetera, et cetera. So looking forward to that.
No commission. Oh, sorry.
Okay. You know, when you asked me how we do it, we never did it. He shocked me on that one. So we're putting it together now. Sure. And this is how we're going to do it. So,
sorry, and then everyone. One thing I talked to Kristen about, that I would like to meet with her and David Moore, who's the business services officer for the AGs, because, you know, bureaucracy is very confusing, and we got to know if we have to move things around in the course of the year. As I recall from budget and finance, there are quarterly allotments. And so if you end up with an investigation happening on the Big Island that she has to travel to the Big Island more often, we would have to be able to add that in. Yeah.
So question to Martha. Have we stayed within the boundary of the money that was budgeted?
Right now, it's just under 300,000. We have 330,000.
Okay.
Case management system. Please talk about that.
Absolutely.
That's about 35,000.
A large chunk of the budget, as you all see, is a case management system that's going to probably be around $35,000. I know it seems like a lot, but the big part of this first year is really going to be setting the foundation for the office. And a case management system is absolutely vital. I'll be using the case management system for obviously keeping track of all complaints, all investigations, all documentation that are applicable to those investigations. The other part of it is that I'm very, very determined to get a forward public-facing piece of it as well, so that when you all go to our website, you know, you'll be able to see the types of complaints that we're receiving. You'll be able to see, you know, without any specific information, obviously, regarding the complainant, but you'll get an idea of the demographics. You know, if they're Native Hawaiian, the age group, sex, like all of that. And so that piece is extremely important to me just for public accountability. And so that, like I said, is 35,000 for the first year, just to get it up and started. And then typically after that, for maintenance costs and different things, just typically 10,000 a year going forward. You know, so, but I am, with all that said, I am also looking at individuals who are potentially willing to do it pro bono, who are really passionate about the work. And so I am looking into different options as well, but just so you're all aware.
Have we posted this on the website?
No, and it's a moving object. Okay. I don't think we need to.
Okay. So what we need now, our fellow commissioners, after reviewing the budget as presented, the expenditure plan, can I get a motion to accept in a second?
Oh, can I talk about one more potential piece to either add or discuss? Yes. Okay. Sure. So one thing that I didn't put in the budget, but I wanted to leave some room there in case we went this route. Martha had brought up a phenomenal idea of having the commission meetings on different islands. And then after the meetings, you know, I can go tour. If other commissioners would like to tour, we can do that as well. Obviously, that's going to add to the travel costs part of the budget. And so, you know, I just wanted to kind of bring it up so that we can all discuss and see how people are thinking.
I don't think we'll add to the cost, because we already built into the budget that we're going to visit the neighbor island facility. So I'm suggesting we do it the same day.
Oh, okay.
So like we have our meeting in the morning and then we visit the facility in the afternoon. On the Big Island, though, that would mean that we'd have to spend one night, because although you can visit both the facilities in one day, you would not also be able to have a meeting.
Right.
So that would increase the budget for an overnight night trip for that.
Okay, so we're good with that. That's a possibility.
And again, it would be online also, so everybody who currently participates, but less can come see us in person.
Okay, can I get the motion?
Do we have a motion?
Well, I'm just waiting for a motion to...
I have a question. Okay. So are we looking at $305,998? Is that the substance of the motion?
Yes.
So, Ted, you want to make a motion?
I move we accept the expenditure plan, approve the expenditure plan as presented, developed and presented by Kristen.
I second the motion.
But I do have a question before we vote on it.
It's been moved and seconded.
Now we can discussion.
Yeah, I'm going to say this part. It's been moved and seconded that we accept the expenditure plan as presented by Christine. Is there any further discussion?
I have a question on the expenditure plan. We had talked in previous meetings, and when I say previous, I mean long time ago at the start about expending some of our budget to bring in someone to train the commission on oversight. I bring that up because it was on the table back 2 years ago, but I'm wondering if we still feel this is necessary given that we have someone with Kristen's background and connection to Nicole. And if we can proceed without the training at this time, then I think the expenditure plan is fine.
How do you feel about that?
I guess it's up to the commission's comfort. I would be more than happy to put together a training for the commission and for the public, honestly, if the public wanted a separate training or anything like that. The other part of it too is that I will be putting together a first year strategic plan, and that'll also really break down what oversight is, what it looks like, the importance of it, and then the importance of, you know, having the different strategies as far as, like, for example, a case management system and all these different intricacies to it. So I'll leave it to the commission, but I would be comfortable if others prefer to go that route. Otherwise, I have many connections who, you know, I'm sure we could have train as well.
Then I'm comfortable with moving forward with the expenditure plan as presented.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that the expenditure plan presented by Christine be adopted, accepted at this time. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, all opposed? Okay, motion passed. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Christine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Work. That wasn't.
Morning. Max, are you there?
There he is.
Yeah.
Hi, Max. This is our time to talk about, you know, how things are going in terms of COVID.
Okay. And good morning, Commissioners, Coordinator Max Sotani. So our stats this week on COVID positives, we're doing weekly accumulations right now. So this reporting covers the period of July 13th to the 19th. Which close of business Tuesday. So as of Tuesday, we had 14 positives at MCCC, 89 positives at OCCC, and one positive at Palawan. We reported no hospitalizations and no deaths regarding COVID. On the vaccination side, This is effective July 18th, and this is again cumulative data. So cumulative final dose, which means either one shot of Johnson & Johnson or two shots of the other vaccines, reporting 3,676 final dose. First booster, we're reporting 1,350. And for second booster, we're up to 155. Those numbers are just for our Hawaii facilities. As far as Arizona, those that are fully vaccinated with two doses or the Johnson & Johnson is 940. And the boosters, they're up to 878. And Arizona numbers are as of today. That's all the information I have at this time.
So what was that number at OCCC again? for positive?
Positives is 89. Tommy wants to add a comment then.
Since the commission is planning on visiting OCCC on Monday, and any facility that you guys go to, because we have, they have an outbreak at the facility, one, we have certain safety, health and safety protocols that must be followed, masked up at all times, that kind of thing. But I would urge any commission member or the coordinator, if you're sick with a cold or you have a compromised immune system or anything like that, I don't recommend that you go to the facilities. But we will, of course, allow you to go in if you like, except if you are positive for COVID, you won't be able to go in. So I've already talked to a Christian and worked out some details on the visitations with respect to notifications. We can give the facility notification that you guys are going to be gone. So I'll work with her on the schedule for the facilities. Even when you go to the neighbor islands for your meetings, we can arrange for you to go to the facility as well. That's all I have. I'll work with Christian on access to the facility, and she does have a few more briefings. We're going to schedule one for next week with the last three divisions and corrections that we didn't get to this week. And so hopefully we'll get that done. And then hopefully you guys will get out to the facilities sooner than later to visit them and see for yourself. Once you guys go out to the facilities, if you do want to talk to the staff or inmates separately, let us know. We'll set that up for you. There are certain safety protocols we do have to follow, though. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Tommy.
You're welcome.
Max, with the current situation in the community regarding the current variant, I believe the last numbers was like at least 400 a day.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, what's going on out there? Have we seen any effect with staffing?
Our staffing numbers right now, and again, it may be underreported, but our active staffing numbers right now is at 10.
Oh, okay.
There's some correlation. You know, the facilities that reported bigger numbers, like OCCC, you know, they have the most positive staff members there. But, you know, the community spread is definitely something that correlates to, you know, spread within the facilities. Our numbers in this building here at Keoniana is also very high. It's a very contagious variant, I believe. President Biden tested positive this morning, so the virus is everywhere. We just got to be vigilant and protect ourselves as best as we can.
And just one last question that I have, and commissioners, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. You know, it's kind of like a phenomenon going on right now, because there's a lot of issues in the nonprofit world, in business, and as well as state. There's just a lot of vacancies. And I remember the last time you reported out, you were in the hundreds. Are we moving to get in that field in recruitment to help public safety with its vacancies on its correctional officers?
You know, we've never stopped. It's looking at different ways to retain people after they come into the system. You know, we fill our classes, and, you know, we have multiple classes. But unfortunately, some people, you know, after they graduate and a few weeks on the job or a few months on the job, they decide working in corrections is not for them and they leave. We also have people retiring at a, you know, enormous rate. They're eligible for retirement and they're tired. I mean, you know, we're short staffed, they're working long hours. And, you know, so people are retiring on us, which, you know, leaves a vacancy as far as the body plus experience. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, various ways. I believe, you know, we sat in on a seminar yesterday that was presented by CLA as far as, you know, recruitment and retention of ACOs, and, you know, possibly look at some of the recommendations that they had, you know, to implement here in Hawaii.
Thanks, Max. You know, this next question, if we have any other questions on regarding COVID for Max. If you look at item number four, discussion of the next step in planning of the new Oahu Community Correctional Center. Max, did you share with us before that there was something in the works to see if we can get more communication involved in the community as we move forward on the planning for the jail?
More community involvement, yeah.
So what we're doing is that we're going into an agreement with the University of Hawaii at Manoa School of Architecture, using them as a point to coordinate this community involvement. So there's several steps that they're gonna go through. One is, you know, kind of educate themselves as far as, you know, practices out there. Two, they're gonna bring in, you know, high level stakeholders, you know, what the commission had recommended, you know, DHS, DOE, I mean, Department of Health, prosecutors, police, I believe, Mark, I extended an invitation to the commission to, for them to provide their insight as to what the new jail should look like. And then the third would be to wrap this up, you know, with everybody's thoughts and, you know, have other type of higher learning, you know, contribute to. So like Hawaiian Studies, School of Social Work, various programs up at UH Manoa to participate.
Do you have a time frame on that? Are we still working on contracts?
I believe I signed off on my portion.
Okay.
We're waiting on UH at this point. You know, we still feel we need to build a new jail. We're gonna pursue that next year again with the legislature to ask for money. Mm-hmm. Commissioners, I do encourage you to go and visit our jail, especially our biggest jail. That might, you know, help you to make your decision whether or not you know, support us on this.
Max, as you know, that we've always taken the position that OCCC needs to be replaced. We have not objected to the location for the replacement. It has been a discussion over the size. So it's not that you don't have our support in replacing it. It's just we need, and this is why we're asking for community meetings. We need input. So as you come up with this contract with the School of Architecture, you mentioned some of the agencies, but how do we make sure we have a couple of community members?
Yes.
Not just the agencies.
Yes.
I think that that'll be worth the meetings.
Okay, we got to make sure we have community members. Thank you.
Just one thing on a similar note. Someone mentioned earlier about the change in the prosecutor's position with respect to bail releases, right? In the judiciary.
Yeah.
Just so you know, that's probably going to increase our pretrial population. So normally what happens is the judges call in and they order releases from the HPD cell block and they give the person a future court date. Since they're not going to be doing that on Oahu, we anticipate that some of those same guys, let's say after 3 or 4 day weekend, when they go to court, they're going to be remanded over. So I anticipate we'll see an increase in our pretrial population for those people who aren't granted bail or who don't have the financial means to bail out. And so that's going to further strain the system and it's going to further overcrowd OCCC.
Tommy, can I suggest that you have your research people really start tracking this and see whether there is an impact as this is being implemented?
I've already sent out guidance to our intake service center administrator because they're the ones that do the intake for them to notify us when they start seeing the increase in the population, if they see the increase, and we suspect they will. So we'll have that.
I was thinking of George King, your research person, being the recipient for that, so you have the statewide totals.
Yeah, okay. Intake Service Center statewide as well, but I'll include George. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Ted, any questions?
Mike? Yeah, I just have a comment. I'm not exactly sure what the department is asking the School of Architecture to do, but Max commented that he wants them to help gather the views of these various state agencies as to what the new OCCC should look like, so to speak. That's a very rough summary. But I think the more important question is to ask these agencies about their view of the interplay of their services or lack thereof and the jail population. For example, in the news article that we've referred to twice this week regarding pretrial releases, the comment from all the parties is that a lot of the people who should be held have mental health issues. Well, it's no secret that we are very, very, mental health resources in the community are very scarce. So can the Department of Health, can the housing people, can the social services people step up so these people can be released, this group can be released earlier? I think these are the kinds of questions that really need to be posed to the various sister state agencies. It's just a comment, not a question.
Right. I think, you know, being that we're part of the executive branch, and I was hoping that, you know, and I did discuss this briefly with Kristen the other day, that possibly, you know, the commission could take on whether or not the people that are being sent to our facilities are appropriate, and whether or not they should be diverted. If they're not appropriate for our facilities, you know, we won't be equipped to deal with them. So, you know, it's taking a look at, you know, whether they're appropriate to come to us or to the Department of Health. And you know, if they're coming to us, then, you know, then oversight comes in as to whether or not we're providing the proper care. But, you know, if they're not the right population coming to us, then of course, you know, difficulty will be experienced by the department in trying to address their needs because we're not prepared or we don't have the resources to deal with it.
So Max, what you're proposing, I think, is more will be a partnership with us and you on tracking what these are, because we can't do it without your support and access to the data. Also, Erin from the, whatever that her organization is called, but the one who's supposed to bring all the data together for the criminal justice system should also be a participant in that.
Martha, for the past almost 2 years, I believe I was trying to be a part of the G4, so it hasn't stopped.
Okay.
So, Max, yeah, I have a question. Max?
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, I have a question. It's Ron Ibarra. But my question is, when a person gets arrested prior to court appearance, doesn't that person remain with the county police? And once the person goes to court, and if it's committed, then it comes to you folks.
Correct.
And so at the time of the court appearance, hopefully the judge will determine where to place if the person is going to be detained. Is that what you're saying? Maybe placed in the Department of Health or you folks?
Or released.
Or released, yeah.
Yeah. I guess, you know, a decision would have to be made there. Or, you know, even possibly, I know this is long-term, you know, information, whether or not the scope can be of Department of Health's responsibility could be opened. You know, they do have criteria as to who they accept for services. But we do have some challenging individuals that come to our facilities.
I think.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ron.
No, I'm done. Thank you.
Yeah, I think if we're talking about the state hospital, I think there's a legal process that the court has to go through before the individual can be committed to the state hospital. But I think equally important is to look at access to services in the community so that the courts can feel safe to release an individual with mental health issues to a program in the community without any kind of detention at all, because a commitment to the state hospital would constitute a type of detention.
Yes, I agree with you, Ted. It's, you know, diversion without the proper resources.
Right, right. And so, I think that's been a tremendous challenge for the system.
Yes.
And just a comment, Max, you know, I totally understand where you're coming from, but what I'm afraid of is the new OCCC becoming the default mental health slash housing program for those in need of services in our community.
But if the system is not going to change, it's going to come that way anyway. And we're going to have, and if we're going to have to deal with it, you know, provide us the resources for us to deal with it. That's all I'm asking.
Right. I totally understand where you're coming from. I'm just saying that this might be an opportunity to get people like the legislature to take a look at what's the Department of Health doing regarding community services so people don't have to go to jail, instead of let them go to jail if they need services.
I guess you would have to also look at the capacity within,
right,
the, you know, whether or not we do have that capacity, you know, in the community to provide these services.
Yeah. Okay, so it should be a really interesting process with the School of Architecture.
Would be good to hear from other partners as to what they envision, you know, the purpose of the jail and how it is a rehabilitative model.
You know, following up on that, this is just a comment. I know the judiciary is having a criminal law forum in October, and they have a panel tentatively appointed to consist of Justice Wilson, Bob Merz, and others whose topic is criminal justice reform, Bob. And certainly, you know, what we have not really gotten to are the judges. You know, we always talk about release, but frankly, the people that release the defendants or impose conditions of bail are the judges. So if the judges know the situation, basically, the issues at public safety, the issues at the Department of Health and the services outside of the community, the judges may make a better informed decision whether to release the person to the community, to incarcerate or release on bail or without bail and things like that. So my suggestion is when Bob and maybe Justice Wilson serve on this panel, and if you are in contact with the people that are setting up the judicial forum, that you bring this up to present to the judges who appear or are at the forum.
Thank you, Judge.
Okay. Thank you, Max, for that discussion.
One last question, and this is a question, Max. You noted that you're waiting for the UH to sign off on the contract. Once the sign off, what's your anticipated kickoff date for this project?
I don't have that information with me. It's a relatively fast process. We're hoping to get something, you know, at least preliminary before the next legislative session.
So I guess what we're asking for, when do you think the first convening of this group would be?
I don't have that information now. I start to predict. They're going to have to schedule, you're going to have to solicitate first whether or not they're interested in participating, and then, you know, coordinate them. But there's also that first portion where they're going to have to do some research on best practices and all that too. So.
Why would they have to do research on best practices? People will be bringing that to the table.
People are going to bring their own version of best practices. So the prosecutor is going to bring their version of best practices. HBD is going to bring their version of best practices. But I think what School of Architecture will be looking at is best practices overall.
Yeah, I guess I'm unclear on what you're saying there, because it's really the prosecutors are going to bring their vantage point and how they see it. The police are going to bring their vantage point. But right. Best practices are usually things that have been tested in the field and have been written about a lot. These agencies you're talking about participating, a lot of them will have that official, this is the best practice in substance abuse. This is the best practice with mental health at different areas. This is the best practices with homelessness. So it's not a matter of the prosecutor coming in and saying one thing, corrections saying something else.
It's best practices within their fields, but then we're talking about what happens when they come to jail. So I think, you know, the School of Architecture needs to, you know, get themselves up to par for this discussion with the various stakeholders so that they can, you know, somehow control the discussion and not have it slap one way or the other.
Okay, put them in touch with that, with us. We'll help.
Just a comment and a question, Max. Some of you may have seen recently Kawailoa Youth and Family Wellness Center, Hawaii Youth Correctional Facility, was one of the top finalists for a Kellogg grant. Our application was about an indigenous model to end incarceration for juveniles in the state of Hawaii, and we were selected as top 10. I do know there are other applicants in Hawaii that put in for that grant of $20 million. And the School of Architect was one that led a model regarding the criminal justice system in Hawaii. Yeah, they had put an application in and they had brought together a lot of the academia in Hawaii, as well as the agencies. I know Bob was on that. I think Cap may have been on that. I was on that as well. And so that I'm trying to remember the School of Architect as trying to design a system more, Bob, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if this is not really the School of Architecture in itself, but the Community Design Center with Kathy Ho-Shar, or Kathy Shar-Ho, who runs that. She's the one who is working with us, and she assembled a terrific group of people from the School of Hawaiian Knowledge and many other community groups to do this. And I was wondering if that's who Max is working with, or whether it's some like professor at the Department of Architecture, because the school.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. She's really good, and it's a really good organization.
EDC is part of the School of Architecture, so.
Yeah, that's who would be most appropriate. I'm glad they're involved.
I just wanted to frame that question that way, because there was questions in the chat that asked about why the School of Architect was getting involved. But I do know they've been working, trying to move in the criminal justice system. So thanks, Bob, for helping me remember that. The next item on the agenda has to do with mental health, and we had a lot of discussion about that. Ted, did you want to have any other questions on that?
No, it's just that, you know, it was a, we had a pretty passionate discussion on this for two or three meetings in a row. And I think it's a topic that won't go away and we need to stay on top of it. I did have a talk one-on-one with Kristen about approaching this. And I believe it's a priority for us. And now that Kristen's on board, I think we can come up with a more methodical approach to gather information as to what the situation is before we reach any kind of conclusions.
Yeah. So the last couple of meetings, mental health and suicides was really a topic that we discussed here in the commission, and people from the community came out and expressed their concerns. Real excited about it when you heard Kristen talk about her resume and her background, that she has done specific work in these units. Mental health, as well as had some experience in suicide. So we really hope to learn from her and how we can help and aid public safety in their monitoring and management of those issues at this time.
Yeah, and I also wanted to thank Max for his responsiveness to our requests for information. And without Kristen, we would be sitting here looking at the information and trying to figure out what the next steps are. And I think with her on board, it really shows why we really needed to have this position filled all these months.
Thank you, Ted. We want to, we're going to go ahead and have a discussion about the additional item to the agenda to request for the Office of Information Practices.
Concurrence for a limited meeting.
Concurrence for a limited meeting. Christian, can you explain that for us?
Yes, I'd love to. Yeah. Okay, so we are looking at having the commission tour, is it Fernhurst facility, which the commission will be able to tell you much more than I can about it. But basically, in order to make sure that we follow the Sunshine Law, we just have to make sure that everybody's on board. In order to have a special meeting, unfortunately, the public wouldn't be able to attend for not only safety and security reasons, but also just difficulty. It'd be difficult to get everybody over there. So that is what we are voting on today, the commission. And what will happen after that is minutes will be posted after this meeting, just breaking down, obviously, the meeting, but then also a new agenda will come up that'll specify when exactly the commission is touring, just so that even though the public can attend, they still know what's going on. And then we will post minutes afterwards to kind of highlight how things went.
I got a question. Concurrence for a limited meeting. Are we going to at each meeting have to approve these things, or is it something that once we do a general approval for a limited meetings for the purposes of touring correctional facilities and correctional programs, we say that once and then you put out the agenda, everybody knows we're going to do these visits?
I will double check with the director of the Public Information Office. The way that I read the law, my understanding is that we will have to do it every time. It is tedious and annoying, but I will double check with the director to see if that's a potential.
Because we only meet once a month.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we're hoping to do these facility meetings very soon.
Yeah.
You know,
Absolutely. So
even the facility tours we have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it depends. So if there's three or more commissioners going, then we would have to get a special meeting approved. Well,
and we want to do one thing where all five of us go to each one of the facilities together, so we're all saying the same thing.
Right. The one benefit is that we can schedule them out. And so, and I'm sure that once it's on the agenda, we could adjust, like if we had to change days or anything, once it's approved.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. So I will double check with the director and see how we can make this as smooth as possible.
Okay.
So for now, we were asked for approval for this limited meeting for the Fernhurst visit. Yeah.
So I'm hoping by the next meeting, which will be in August, that we have decided when we're going to the facility so we can do it all at once.
Mm-hmm. Commissioners, we have been approached to come and visit. We've been invited.
Yeah,
and it actually was invited several months ago, but we were unsure whether or not we were allowed to just, you know, go and visit in our capacities. And so now, we waited for Christian to come to give us advice on how do we go and visit when the community asks us to come. Yeah, and so.
Well, we should be going anywhere because this is a contract program with the Department of Public Safety. So it's a publicly funded program.
So can we get a motion and a second?
I move that we request concurrence for a limited meeting from the Office of Information Practices for the purposes of visiting Fernhurst.
Second.
So then moved by Martha, seconded by Ron, that we pass a motion to make a request to the Office of Information Practices
for concurrence
for a limited meeting. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say same. Mike, are you there?
I think he's on a plane now.
Oh, okay. We still got quorum.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Motion passed. Thank you, everyone. Any further comments from the community on our agenda items or the discussions or something that you just remembered that you wanted to share with us? Bob?
I think I'm really encouraged by what I heard today about engaging the community in the process of planning the new jail. I think that's been one of the major criticisms for at least 5 years. And to see movement on that in the right direction is very encouraging. And I would hope that now that we have Kristen on board, we can get the meetings posted somewhere where we can all access them in case we want to go back and, you know, re-listen to certain parts or quote certain parts in emails. That would be really helpful. But thank you all.
So good news, Bob. My first week here, all of the recordings are currently up on the website, including audio and all of the text from the Zooms as well. They're all up on the They're all up on the website. So feel free to check those out. Some have minutes, some don't. I do plan to kind of go back through and add as I can. But at least this meeting moving forward, we will have the video, audio, Zoom transcript, and also minutes.
Well, thank you. And I'll be much more careful in my chat comments then.
Go ahead, Kat.
I just want to say, mahalo for this meeting and aloha, Kristen. We are so happy you are here.
Thank you.
And we're at your service. So if you need anything, please call the community.
Thank you, Kat. Anyone else? Carrie Ann?
Carolyn.
Yes. Aloha, commissioners. It's Carrie Ann Shirota. Sorry, I'm on Maui today and camera is a little spotty, but happy that Kristen is on board. Welcome. We're so happy that you're here. I have a comment or just sharing. This may have come to the Oversight Commission previously, but there's reputable, reliable resources, and it's even in some newspaper articles in Arizona that Saguaro and other places in, I don't know what part of Arizona, but I believe Saguaro was included, where they were, due to thunderstorms, the power was out for almost a week. So there was emergency lighting. They said that the power was just recently restored. But in the meantime, it was horrible for the people living there. As you can imagine, Arizona, the extreme heat, sweltering conditions, being in the cells without lights, power, no phones, nothing. Has this been reported to you and to the Department of Public Safety and what has been done? And is this something that's going to be looked into?
Max, can you answer that? Has Core Civics complained about losing their electricity and stuff in Florence?
It did lose power. Apparently, because of the storms there, a whole bunch of power lines went down. So the whole city of...
the whole city of Eloy, 27 telephone poles carrying electrical lines went down in and around Eloy. So it wasn't just a prison, it was Eloy, Casa Grande and another small town nearby got affected. But I want to make it clear, the facility had backup generators that kicked in. So there was no issue with food, except they only provided one hot meal a day. The refrigeration was okay. They still provided religious and special diets, and medication that required refrigeration was not affected because the generators kicked on.
Are they back to normal, Tom?
Not yet. They're still on generator power. They're still serving one hot meal a day. They hope to have, and so we're clear. I think they've been out of power for 3 days, not a week. And they anticipate the power should be back on later today or tomorrow. But again, they have the backup generators, and the backup generators, there is some air conditioning still in the facility, in the housing unit themselves.
Carolyn, did you have a question?
No, I just thought that since there is an Oversight Commission meeting, that's something to important to report and salient to the Oversight Commission. And I mean, you know, with the heat record levels that we keep seeing happening on the continent. I know that Tommy's saying that maybe some units were not affected, but I don't know if that's necessarily true about all the people who are living there. And with the storms, this may be continuing to happen. The heat can lead to illness and potentially death. I just think it is something to look into. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie Ann, for bringing that to our attention. We will continue to work with public safety and keep tabs on the events in Arizona.
I have a question to Max. Max, this is Ron Ibarra. Regarding Seguro, do you folks have regular meetings, daily, weekly, or the meetings are just as needed, you know, as far as status and things like that?
We have a contract monitor on the ground that works for us there. In addition, they have weekly meetings. Howard Kimori, who is the administrator for the mainland and FTC branch, has weekly meetings with Warden Wheaton and his staff and the contract monitor. And we also have quarterly audits we go down there for. So they do keep the line of communication open. I think with respect to this particular incident, Mark, maybe if the commission can tell us what type of incident you want to be informed of, then we can be proactive and notify you of incidents that occur that the commission may be interested in. And I think that line of communication is what was lacking in this particular incident.
Okay, we'll follow up with that, Tommy. Thank you.
And Tommy, I would assume at this time, because the electricity went down, that you probably have more contact, probably more daily contact, yeah?
Correct, we do.
Yeah.
We have to give us a daily update with respect to the generators. Anybody has to go off for medical because we're concerned about the heat, as Carrie Ann Shirota mentioned. And we're concerned about the morality of the inmates there as well.
Thank you. Soon has her hand up.
Go ahead.
Aloha, this is Soon. I'm a member of the community. First and foremost, once again, welcome, Kristen, and thank you all for having these meetings. I would like to express my strong support for diversion, and specifically because recently there was someone in OCCC whose bail was paid for, and there was a condition for them to be released into a program. Now, in hindsight, it appears that being incarcerated actually set the timeline back for this person to receive the critical services that would be helpful to them. Because of this setback in the timeline as well, there is another issue where that person's attorney now cannot find them, contact them, and has no idea where they are. So I do want to inquire, in cases like this, how one would be able to find someone. And not just from the perspective of the attorney, but also just from the perspective of the community and friends and family who want to continue to support this individual. Thank you.
So if I may clarify, the question is, you have someone who has been released from public safety through either making bail, and that person is now so-called unavailable or unknown as to the whereabouts, and you want to know how to contact the person?
Yes, that is correct. Specifically, the attorney wanted to find the person to prepare them for their court date.
Well, unless there's conditions of bail, you know, that the person is supposed to be residing at certain address, I'm not sure, because I know I had cases where a defendant is released and the public defender had to go down the beach, walk around and look for his client. But if there's a release without any conditions of residence, I'm not sure how, you know, unless the attorney has kept in contact with the defendant, but apparently not.
Yes, correct. So the condition was they were to be released to an inpatient program. And once their bail was paid for, they were eventually released into a program, but there's no record as to where, and they've essentially disappeared.
Well, if that was a condition of release by a court order, I would think the prosecutor would move the court for revocation of a bail for failing to comply with the conditions of release.
That's a very difficult question to ask, Ms. Soon. When you talk about if they've exhausted all the previous records that they have on the individual in terms of home housing and in terms of family, if that has been exhausted, you know, the next step would really be to look at the nonprofits in the community who may have serviced him in the past and see if he's showing up for food or shelter. Yeah, and that's a lengthy process in itself. But once family and housing has been exhausted, it's very difficult to track someone.
Oh, sorry, I would like to clarify that the condition was for someone from the service provider to pick them up from OCCC. But because there's no record as to what service provider actually took them in, we're kind of at the dead end there.
If a service provider was instructed to pick up someone as a condition of their bail, they should have a record of the service provider. Somebody has to sign the individual out, right?
Ms. Soon, the questions you have, if you could please forward them to Kristen, we might have a better idea and it gives us something to be looking at as opposed to just this discussion, because I'm a little lost.
Thank you. I will go ahead and do that.
Thank you.
Seeing, I'm sorry, Carolyn, I went to you before. Did you want to make a comment?
Okay. No, thank you. Sorry, put my hand down. Thank you.
No, that,
we're looking at Carolyn Eaton.
Okay. All right. Just a few things. My apologies on the recording. I've had those recordings in my computer for the last 9-10 months, Bob. I'm an expert on Atari. You know,
it's okay, Mark.
Invaders, but you know, Zoom is rough.
No problem, Mark. I'm with you. I'm with you.
It just took one phone call with Christian, and I figured it out. And I was able to push everything towards her.
Okay. Wonderful progress, though. Thank you. I would have the same problems, Mark.
It's funny because after 2.5 years of controlling the Zoom, and now I'm not controlling. I'm trying to figure out where my place in this meeting is.
You're in charge.
It's different because now I have a big screen and it's so far away. I'm squinting to read what's on the chat room and whatnot. But, you know, everybody, I just want to say I'm really excited and happy that because everything that was mentioned and talked about today, you know, I'm just so happy to give it to Christian. And I feel honestly, the next meeting, we're going to have a lot of answers.
Yep.
Yeah, and a lot of movement, you know, and I'm excited about that because she's been typing away next to me. And, you know, I have a very positive feeling. Thanks, Max and Tommy, for being with us today. We have our next meeting.
I don't have my calendar up. The third Thursday in August.
August 18th. At 9 o'clock, and we invite you folks to join us here at the state building, across from the federal building, and just, you know, it's okay. Nobody bit me since I've been here, so I'm safe. And you folks have a good 4 weeks until we meet again.
Thank you, Mark.
Aloha.
Mahalo. Aloha.
Thank you.
End of meeting.